Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Jan Stokkelsaw. He is out with a brand new book, The Man Who Played with Fire, Stieg Larsson's Lost Files and the Hunt for an Assassin. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold. Jan, a lot of us know Stieg Larsson from his novels that were made into movies, the Millennium series, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and all that. But what was he before he became a novelist, what turned out to be late in his life?
He was a journalist fighting right-wing extremism in Sweden, and that was his life mission. He was that was his big thing. And then suddenly one day, he actually got right in the middle of the murder of our prime minister, Olof Palme, in 1986.
So take me back to 1986. It's February 28th of 1986, and the prime minister, Olof Palme, is coming home from a movie theater. Take it from there. How did the assassination take place?
Well, our prime minister decided to call off his bodyguards, go together with his wife to the cinema, to the movie theater, and he went there around 9 p.m. in the evening when the show started, so everybody who would have seen him walk in could actually take the chance of killing him when he walked out. And 2 hours later, they stepped out of the cinema, walked for 400 yards, and then a man stepped out from behind a corner and shot the prime minister with one shot in the back, and he was dead immediately.
Any witnesses to this shooting?
It was not a very well-chosen spot. There were around 15 eyewitnesses very close to the murder. Friday night in Stockholm Center, and people were out walking, actually. So they got a lot of witnesses, but nobody really saw a lot. They didn't see the actual killer's face.
Now, those of us in America, we've all seen the assassination attempt on President Reagan in 1981, and the shooter, John Hinckley, was immediately wrestled to the ground. That didn't happen here, though, right?
No, the person stood there for a couple of seconds before he started running up some stairs close to the murder scene, and he disappeared soon after that and has never been seen since.
How popular was the prime minister at the time of his death in Sweden?
Well, half of the people of Sweden loved him, and half of the people disliked him or even hated him. There was a strong sentiment for him and against him. So he was extremely popular and at the same time hated.
So then how does Stieg Larsson become involved right at the outset?
Stieg Larsson was working as a graphic designer at the biggest news agency of Sweden. And he got the assignment to make a map how the killer ran away from the place immediately in the hours in the morning when he came to his office. So all the reporters came with information to him, and he drew this map and realized that he may have his own information also from his own research that he had been doing before.
The law enforcement investigation. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Well, the law enforcement investigation into this assassination attempt and comparing it to Stieg's own journalistic investigation, how are they similar or different?
A few days after the killing, the police caught a right-winger and said that he may be the actual killer. And Stieg Larsson realized that this right-winger was connected to the research that he had been doing into right-wing networks of Sweden. So that's how he connected his own research to this killing.
We hear about this whole idea of fighting right-wing extremism. What exactly is the political divide, or what was it at the time that Stieg Larsson was so concerned about that right-wingers were a threat about?
The right-wingers of Sweden, they were actually connected to the end of the Second World War, and they had sort of survived by whitewashing their appearance and their political opinions. But behind that, they were actually quite extreme. They were supporting the apartheid regime of South Africa, and they were fighting a lot against the normal politicians of Sweden. And so that was what Stieg Larsson started to look into quite early in his life, and he continued until the day he died when he was 50 years old.
Well, take me to the last few years of his life was when he wrote his novels and ends up dying of a heart attack. I think he walked up a set of stairs and died of a heart attack. But how did you become involved in this story?
Well, I was actually doing research into a completely different book, but I did go into different archives, and in one of them I found a paper that was not signed and with no date, where it said that the person was a middleman in the killing of our prime minister. And I asked the lady who had the paper who wrote this, and she said, Stieg Larsson. And that was one of those moments in life when everything turns and you know that your life will change for years to come. And that was what happened to me.
Was Stieg keeping all of this information as some sort of research project for a publication he was working for, or was this his own personal journey?
If you read Stieg's book in the Millennium series, you will notice that in each of the book he actually mentions the assassination of our prime minister, and especially in the third book, it starts to become part of the story. So what I think, and also his living partner, Eva Gabrielsson, says, is that one of his books would be about the assassination. So he was definitely collecting material for either a fiction or a non-fiction book about the killing.
So how much material did he actually have when you found it?
Well, I thought I would find maybe a box or half a box or something. But when the door opened to this archive, forgotten archive, it was 20 cardboard boxes full of documents. So he put a lot of time into this.
Who was actually keeping these documents? Who had the possession of them?
They had been handed over to the Expo magazine, which is actually the role model for the Millennium magazine in his books. So it was he handed over to the people that was closest to him that he thought could actually take care of it when he died.
And so you start sifting through this information. Did you see any evidence that Stieg had contact with law enforcement or was giving them tips as they investigate this?
Yes, he met the police several times in the month after the killing, and started handing in memos to them, speaking to them, actually leading them in the right direction. Unfortunately, we got a new head of the investigation who took the research into a completely different direction. So,
law enforcement considered this case solved at one time and then didn't. Can you kind of explain how that happened with an arrest and then a reversal of a conviction?
Exactly. That was the time when the new head of investigation came in. When they were going in the right direction, this new head of investigation came in, and he said, no, this is not a conspiracy. It's much harder. It's a lone killer, and it will be extremely hard to find. 6 months later, they'd caught a drug abuser called Christer Pettersson. And for three decades, we have been told that this person, who was convicted first and then freed, that he was the actual killer of our prime minister. Only recently, the new prosecutor called Christer Pettersson has said it was not the drug abuser, Christer Pettersson, who killed our prime minister. So, and now they're saying it was a conspiracy. So the police are looking in the right direction, but three decades too late.
Well, and the whole thing came down to whether this was a madman versus an act of terrorism, right?
Exactly. And the madman theory is always much more comfortable for everybody. It's all easy to solve, and it's only one person that takes the blame for it. So it's a much more comfortable solution for everybody.
So I'm thinking about it over here in the United States. This is sort of akin to the JFK assassination we had here, and this is the Swedish version of it, though. But I think the government considers the JFK assassination solved, but there's still conspiracy theories abound. Is it the same way in Sweden with the death of this prime minister?
Well, there are many parallels between the JFK and the Olof Palme assassination. The difference here is that recently the authorities have come out and said, no, it wasn't this lone killer. We were wrong. We're looking at conspiracies now.
So are they still actively investigating this, or is this sort of a cold case deal and it's kind of on the back burner?
It's really active, and it's become more active since my book was published, actually. I met them several times before the book was published. They asked me to hand in the book before it was published, and I actually wrote on the first page, here you have the manual to solve the killing. And I've met them five times on their initiative since then also. So it's highly active.
All right. The book is The Man Who Played with Fire, Stieg Larsson's Lost Files and the Hunt for an Assassin by Jan Stoklasa. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold. Jan, thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks for putting out an incredibly interesting book for all of us to enjoy.
Thank you, Brian. It's good talking to you. Thanks.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
So don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.